you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. God's Word is good stuff. Hey, let's tell Leah Beth thank you for leading worship today. You might not know this about her, but she currently was up all night hanging out with about 250 high school students. My son had prom last night, and so they did an after-prom party, and so Leah Beth was their photographer all night. So everybody's like, ooh. Now she's like, thanks, Mark, for embarrassing me. She'll let me know later, don't worry. One of the, you ever have one of those moments that just kind of cracks you up sometimes? And you wish you had a microphone that you could put in somebody else's car? Friday I was driving through Belleville, and this car pulled up right behind me. I was coming to a stoplight, and the light turned yellow, so I slowed down to stop, because if I kept going, it would have been red when I got there. I'm not running a red light. And it wasn't one of those panic, those quick stops where everybody in the car flies forward. It was like this casual stop. Well, apparently the guy that was behind me was not happy about me stopping, and he was being very emphatic behind me in the mirror. And so I'm like reading his lips in the mirror as I'm looking back at him. He's like expressing to the light. He's communicating with me in very verbal way. I wish I could have heard what he had to say, because he was like emphatic that I should have gone through that light. Now, what was really funny was I was the first car at the light. So when the light turned green, I went. I'm still looking in my mirror thinking, man, he's going to be riding my tail all the way. No, you know what he was doing? He was actually sitting there on his phone. A minute and a half earlier, he's mad at me that I didn't blaze through. And then there he is on his phone. That's funny. It cracked me up. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation before where somebody's communicated something to you in a way that was hurtful or a way that was harsh. Now, growing up, we used the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, that's always fun to say. Now, it doesn't always feel like that's true, does it? Because there are words that people say to us that can be and are very hurtful, aren't they? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not really a true statement. Or maybe you've heard the expression before. Maybe you've even said this expression before after you said something to somebody to let them know you had something to communicate with them that you needed them to know and you wanted them to know it. And so you just thought they needed to hear that. Man, you needed to hear that. You needed that little bit of truth. You needed that. Even though it was said in a way that was like throwing a hand grenade into the situation. We're not going to worry about how I did it. You needed to hear that. Now, we all know words can be very powerful and words can be very messy. And sometimes we've had those situations where it starts off a powerful conversation, it becomes messy really quick. There's been moments, if we can all attest to, that there have been times we've been blessed by something somebody tells us. We're like, man, you have them, they say something to you, you're like walking on air after they say it because it was such an encouragement and a blessing to you. And there's also been those moments where you have been the opposite of blessed by what they said, where you walk away crushed, your spirit broken, hurting. Or maybe you're like me and you've just made a mess with your words. That you might as well take your size 11 and a half shoe and jam it in your mouth, because that would taste better than the words that were coming out of it. We've made a mess with our words. And it gets back to one of the elephants in the room sometimes that we don't like to talk about. And that is, sometimes we think, I have the right to say whatever comes to mind. I have the right to say whatever I want to say. What I'm thinking, it can come right out my mouth. I have that right. Or it's sibling elephant, I can do whatever I want to do. I can do or say whatever makes me happy. An elephant in the room, because sometimes we think that I have that right, I'm an American. I can say whatever I want. But something's different when I'm a Christian about how it comes to how I talk and how I act, how I behave. And the scary thing is sometimes, if we're not careful, we can become experts at finding the loopholes or convincing ourselves, I'm the exception to the rule. They needed to hear that. They had to hear that. I had to say that to them. I had to put them in their place. I had to make sure they knew what I was thinking. I had to make sure that Mark knew that I was mad that he stopped at a red light. I had to make sure I communicated that. Yet, as a follower of Jesus, my believing has to guide my living. What I'm believing has to affect how I be living. It has to impact the direction that I'm going. 1 John 2:6 says this, if we say we are His, we must follow the example of Christ. And if we think about it, how Jesus lived, He walked in close relationship with the Father. He walked in love. He walked in holiness. He walked in obedience. If I say I belong to Jesus, I have to follow His example. I have to live the way He lived and interact with people the way He interacted with. Or 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, He, Jesus, personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By His wounds, we are healed. I mean, Jesus died so that I could have life. He gave me life. And so then because of that, it changes how I behave. It changes how I live. And I'm not accepted by God based on my behavior. My acceptance by God instructs my behavior. I don't earn my salvation. Jesus did that for me. But because of what Jesus did for me, I begin to live for Him in a way that honors Him. Now, when I started 2022, we started unpacking Peter's letter to the church. And it's been an interesting examination as he's just going, talking to a church that is beginning to face persecution, beginning to face pressure for their following of Christ. And as he's unpacking all that Jesus did for them, and he's kind of helping these believers in the early church know, how do you walk through life when you're facing pressure from the outside? How do you live when you're experiencing all of that? And as he gets into chapter 3, he begins to look at, how do you interact with one another as believers? One of the things he looks at is, like, in their culture, they had individuals that were servants, that were indentured to a master, that worked for them. We would think of them as slaves. They were kind of in this weird relationship there in that household. They were treated sort of as family, but also as servants. And so how do you balance that? Because it's different from our culture. But for them, Peter's instructing them, obey and show respect for your household, even if you're experiencing hardship. Then he looks at, as he goes past that, he looks at, okay, husband and wife relationships. How do you interact with one another? It's like, wives, show preference to your husband. Allow him to win the ties. Wives, be close to him and develop inner character. Husbands, show honor and get to know and understand who your wife is. Become an expert on who she is. And then he even has this warning in there to the husbands. He's like, treat your wife well or you hinder your own prayer. There's a spiritual consequence for how you interact as a husband towards your wife. So he's talking to that. And then as he unpacks more, he gets to, how do followers of Jesus interact with one another? And you see this in 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you should agree and have concern and love for each other. You should also be kind and humble. I mean, as we interact with one another, we should continue to be experts like we are, because everybody here tends to be so loving and kind to one another, and we need to be experts on that, where we're kind and loving and encouraging to one another. But then what do you do, though, when you're a follower of Jesus and you have an adversary? You have somebody that is against you. You do good to them, even if you're treated poorly. Peter continues in verse 9, don't be hateful and insult people just because they are hateful and insult you. Instead, treat everyone with kindness. You are God's chosen ones, and he will bless you. Now, Friday, there was part of me that when this guy behind me was all like that in the mirror, I wanted to just sit there when the light turned green. I wanted to just kind of like slowly put the gas pedal on and just kind of slowly move forward, just because I'm like, if you're aggravated, I'm just going to make a sport of it and get you even more. Now, that's not really kind. And it could lead to the guy behind me being rageful. And that's never fun at all when you're dealing with a road rage incident. And anymore, you don't know what the person's going to do when they're just blowing up behind you. But I didn't do that. That's what I wanted to do. But that wasn't the kind response to do that. A lot of time we want to push back at people that are rough towards us. We want to make them pay because they've injured us. We want to injure them back. We want to make them pay. But yet, Peter's like, no, don't respond that way. Treat them with kindness. How I'm living as a believer has spiritual consequences. It impacts my relationships with God and the viability of my prayer life. If I want God's blessing on my life, then I have to do good. In verse 10, Peter continues, the scriptures say, do you really love life? Do you want to be happy? Then stop saying cruel things and quit telling lies. Give up your evil ways and do right as you find and follow the road to peace. The Lord watches over everyone who obeys him, and he listens to their prayers, but he opposes everyone who does evil. If I want to live in a place where I'm walking in God's blessing, then I have to be careful about how I interact with people, how I talk to people, the words that I use. Because God's paying attention. Because how I speak matters. Now, one of the things is that how I speak, my words reveal who I am on the inside. Now, there's a modern proverb that goes something like this. It is better to keep one's mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open it up and to remove all doubt. You ever been there before? You're like, hey, if I stay quiet, they're not going to know. But then you're like, man, if I open my mouth, woo. And you've been around, you've sometimes been that person where everybody looks at you like, really? Did you just say that? Seriously? That just came out of your mouth. Sometimes if we're just quiet, life is a lot better. The scriptures say, wrong verse. Proverbs 17:28, even fools seem smart when they are quiet. Or Jesus talking in Matthew 12:35, good people bring the good things out of their hearts, but evil people bring evil things out of their hearts. I mean, when I talk, it reveals what's going on inside. At some point, it's just going to come bubbling out. And that's why when I'm sitting here as the elephant in the room and I'm like, hey, I can say whatever what comes to my mind. Yeah, I can say whatever is coming up on my mind. And as I'm just running my mouth, it's beginning to reveal who I am on the inside. It begins to reveal my attitude towards people, my thoughts towards how valuable I view people are. It reveals just the thoughts that are going through my mind all the time. It's just going to come out of who I am. So that's why it's important that I take time to work on the inside. That I get God's word and God's presence in me. Where I'm just like, man, I'm just going to study your word. I'm going to take time to know who you are, God, through your word. And then also, God, I'm going to take time to worship you. I'm going to take time to pray and just be in your presence so that you're working on the inside of who I am. So I'm becoming a man or a woman of character. So that when I talk, the words that come out are life-giving. Because my words not only reveal who I am, but I'm accountable to God for my words. But I have a right to say anything. I have that right. It's even in our Constitution. I have that right. I do have that right. And the Constitution does protect me if I'm talking against the government, from the government doing something against me. I have that constitutional right. But you don't have that right in every other part of your life, do you? Try it with your spouse sometimes. Try it with your neighbor sometimes. Try it with your employer sometimes. We don't have that right in every aspect of our lives just to say whatever we want, but sometimes we feel that way. Well, they had that coming. They needed to hear what I had to say. But I'm accountable to God for my words. In Matthew 12:36, as Jesus continues, I promise you, on the day of judgment, everyone will have to account for every careless word they have spoken. On that day, they will be told they are either innocent or guilty because of the things they have said. Ooh, isn't that scary? Now, I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for his grace. I'm thankful for his mercy. I'm thankful for his forgiveness, that a lot of those things aren't held against me. But could you imagine if God just sat you down, you're having a little performance review at the end, and he just sits you down, and he brings you into his office, and you're sitting down in this really big desk there, and God's on one side, you're on the other, and he just, if it were the case, he just pulls out, and he's like, hey, when you were, 15, you said this. Wouldn't that be horrible if you had to be held accountable to that? But God. But our lives are accountable to God for how we live. So we have to be careful about how we talk. It's not easy, but it's necessary to practice self-control over what I say. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says this: let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. That's hard sometimes. Now, me naturally, I don't like to get into tense situations, and so I will like to try to bring levity to the situation. I'll try to lighten the mood to kind of like crack a joke or something to break up the tension sometimes. That's not always appropriate to do at every situation. And some people respond to it differently. I've shared this story before. When my grandfather died, we were at the funeral, and there's a whole bunch of people in the room. And if you know how it is, at least in the funerals here in this area, everybody will sit in a room kind of like with pews like this. They're all just looking forward. Usually there's a casket, closed casket up at the front, maybe open sometimes. And so everybody's just kind of sitting there interacting. I had a friend that had never been to a funeral before, and she was there with us, and she's like standing there, and she's like, why is everybody just sitting staring to the front? And I just go, they're waiting for the movie to start. That got us all giggling because it was funny. And we're all laughing because it broke the tension. My uncle did not feel the same way. He was not happy about me cracking a joke because he was upset that his dad no longer was around. He could no longer interact with his dad. He didn't catch the humor. On one hand, I have my friends. We're all laughing because it broke the tension. On the other, it's creating tension with my uncle. We've all been there before with our words. I can build up or I tear down with my words. That's why it's so important that I speak life and purpose into people. Ephesians 4:29, stop all your dirty talk, say the right thing at the right time, and help others by what you say. Or in Proverbs, kind words are like honey. They cheer you up and make you feel strong. Because doesn't it feel good when somebody comes up to you if you're discouraged and they're like, hey, you can do this. You got this. I believe in you. I'm behind you. We got this. Let's go. Let's take it on. We're in this together. It brings life where there's been difficulty. Because the reality is, though, our words can be remembered for a very long time. You think back to a lot of the different relationships in your life, from people that you've known for a long time or maybe haven't seen in a long time, I bet you if you started thinking about it, you can remember one or two key conversations that you had with those individuals. So make your words count for something. Because you want the right words to be remembered by those individuals. Proverbs 12:18 says, "Sharp words cut like a sword, but words of wisdom heal." I mean, some of us carry scars from what somebody said to us a week ago, 6 months ago, 6 years ago, or maybe even 6 decades ago, where somebody made a comment and they said something and it cut us deep. And it left a deep scar that we just can't seem to forget. So what do I do in those moments where I've had those deep scars where somebody said something, man, and it's sticking with me and I can't let it go? One is consider the source. Who said it? I mean, words from a friend, even though they're hurtful, can be trusted. But there are some people, you just need to consider the source. Who even just said it to you? But then also, I had a mentor one time that said, filter out the truth from the lie. Because sometimes there is a nugget of truth in there that you do need to deal with. And so filter out what's the truth, what's the lie that is in there, and deal with the part that is true and discard the part that's not true. And work through that. But then always think right. Because we're really bad about pulling the wrong thoughts into our mind that we allow to go on replay all the time. But we need to think about things that are upright. Think about things that are encouraging. Think about those things, not think about the junk over and over and over on replay in our mind. My words can set someone up to succeed, or they can set someone up to fail. Think of your words like a seed. It's gardening time. We have a neighbor that has been spending all weekend tilling up his garden, and it's just like going crazy. It's like every day we're watching him go back and forth with the tiller, getting that soil just right. He's out there planting little seedlings into the soil, and he's going to have this really cool garden. Last year he put it in a system so he could water it all, so it's going to be really good, but he never shares it with us because he's just not that close of a neighbor because he's on the other side of the subdivision. I don't know him. But it's kind of fun to watch him build all that garden. But think about your words, though, as a seed that you say something, what's going to take root in their heart and in their life? When you say those words, what is planted in their minds? What is going to become of what you share with them? What's it going to produce? What kind of crop is going to be there? Because seeds start small and produce a big crop. Our words can do the same thing. We can set somebody up to succeed, or we can set them up to fail with our words. A sincere compliment at the right time will make somebody's day. An innocent joke at the wrong time can crush someone's spirit. So we have to step back and listen and think before we speak, where we select our words carefully. James's advice was, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And aren't we the opposite? Quick to speak, don't pay attention to anything, and man, we get angry fast. And definitely all our politicians are angry all the time. And anymore, it's like we have to pick which politician gets the angriest the most for the side we like. But shouldn't we be quick to listen, quick to pay attention, quick to read the room, the situation, what's going on, and then slow to give advice, slow to talk, slow to comment, slow to criticize, and slow to get all worked up emotionally and get out slow to be all angry and mad, taking our time in the situation. Or Proverbs says this, 10:19, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. And isn't that hard to do? It's hard to do. People like to hear their own voice. We like to hear our own voice. We like it. We like the sound of it. So we got to do the opposite by being a listener that asks good questions. Where we just ask instead of talk. I did this yesterday with a parent on a soccer field. A guy I'd seen a lot at different events, but we'd never had a real conversation. The next thing I know, we had a 20-minute conversation standing on the side of a soccer field where it was just like, I just asked a few questions, and then it was a boom, he just starts talking, and then we were interacting, and all of a sudden this whole conversation goes by. And it was fun, and it was rewarding. But take the time to listen. I have a guy that I work with during the week, and this individual is not yet a full believer in Christ and a full follower of Jesus. And a few weeks ago, he was just joking around with another coworker that was of Hispanic descent, a Mexican descent, and that guy was given a Gideon Bible, one of those little New Testaments. And he handed it to my friend, and my friend's like, hey, I can't read Spanish. It's not going to do me any good. And so that guy went back and tracked down the guy with the Gideons and got an English Bible, gave it to my friend. My friend now for the last week or so, every day, has been grabbing that little New Testament, and he'll stand in our workplace and he'll open it up and he'll start reading little passages out of it. And then the next thing I know, he's been coming and sitting at my desk and he's asking me all these questions. What does this mean? And so we've been having these full-on conversations, but I've noticed I have to take the time to listen to what he's asking so that I can speak God's truth back to him in a way that is beneficial, not me just getting caught up in, hey, I'll go into Bible college professor mode, pull out all my knowledge from my master's in theology, and blast him with big theological terms and have him be completely lost. But I have to take the time to listen so that my words that I share with him are beneficial. Most of the time I'm sitting there while he's like talking about something, I'm sitting there going, sweet Jesus, please help me know what to say. Holy Spirit, give me the right words to say. I'm praying that all under, you know, in my mind while I'm just like, Jesus, help me as I understand this. And then half the time I'm grabbing my phone and I'm pulling up my Bible app looking, trying to follow along with what he's reading to get the whole context so I can properly communicate with him. But I have to listen so that I can speak words of life and truth to him. That's what we have to do. I have to think before I speak. I have to walk away if I'm going to say too much or the wrong things. Just walk away. I had one tip that I used in the past. It was like, hey, if I'm really frustrated with somebody, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write it all up. I'm going to like let this person know how I feel, write it, maybe type it up on the computer. I'm going to print it. I'm going to do all that, but I'm not handing it to the person. I'm either shredding it or burning it or destroying it or deleting it. You know, I'm getting it out, but I'm not getting it out to them. I'm keeping my thoughts to myself. Sometimes I have to realize, sometimes if I'm stressed out, if I'm tired, if I'm hungry, I have to be careful how I communicate in those moments. Because you ever been hangry before? You ever been there? I mean, sometimes it's hard. If you've had a busy day and you come home and then you're hit with stuff, it can be hard because you're hangry. You're like, okay, let me just have a snack first and then we'll talk. Let me take a 15-minute nap on the couch. Let me just decompress for a moment because I'm a little stressed, I'm a little tired, so I'm not going to be able to properly say things to you than if I would just have some rest. We have to remember where we are, what's going on with us, and then we have to also consider that my word is only as good as my character. My word is worthless if I lie, if I deceive, if I'm not trustworthy. If I'm revealing secrets, it's destroying trust. If I'm gossiping, it's harming community. Because the things that I say have consequences. My big boasts can burn bridges. My words can come back to haunt me. I have to be careful what I say. I have to be careful what I write. I have to be careful what I record. I need to speak words of life. I mean, one of the most frustrating things that I've seen lately is on Facebook, there's this Facebook group, and the group is called Life in the Assemblies of God, and it started off as this group of, hey, let's all get together, and let's just reminisce on what it's like to grow up in the Assemblies of God, and people getting on there sharing their stories. A lot of times they'll share pictures of, you know, churches that they went to when they're kids, or they're like, hey, whatever happened to Brother Pastor Smith? You know, where is he pastoring now, or is he still alive, whatever. So, that, you know, it's all encouraging when you get there. And then all of a sudden, these wars start on there.
well, the pastor wears jeans instead of slacks. Or they play with the guitar instead of the organ in worship. And all of a sudden these wars start. And I'm like, what in the world, people? What should have been so encouraging to get there with other people that have a shared experience, all of a sudden you're having wars over the most trivial, silly things. Where it was like, man, if an unbeliever were to come into that, they're like, I'm not having anything to do with these people. Just because of our words that we record. Our words matter. We can speak life or death into people. So we want to make sure we're speaking words of life. That those words build them up so that they accomplish all that God has for them. And yes, there are moments that we have to discipline. Yes, there are moments where there's certain types of criticism that have to be done to make things better. There are those times that has to be done, but we want to do it well so it brings life, not death. Our words matter. As a Christian, I don't have the right to just to say whatever I want to say whenever I want to say it. So I want to speak life into people to bring out their very best.